We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
11!
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
1, 2.
Midway, the most important of the year.
3, 4.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
It's not 10. You see, you're on 10 here. Where can you go from there? Where? To 11. 11, exactly.
11.
Midway. So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Well, I didn't really think this would happen quite this way. No. Literally, as our show was starting, we got the news that Mike Trout signed a 12-year, $430 million contract extension. And then the show became Dan and Connor fansplain Mike Trout to old white people.
Yeah, I didn't expect to go Joe Morgan like you did on Derek Jeter for the better part of 10 years on a nightly broadcast. I guess it's very strange.
I guess if I'm coining the term fansplaining, that appears to be what's going on here is, for those who just don't quite understand or appreciate or care to try to understand or appreciate Mike Trout, he really is that good. He might be the best baseball player ever. He is at the peak of his powers. He is still could even be on the ascent. He's 27 years old. He might be one of the best major sport professional athletes that's ever walked the face of the earth. And people don't know who he is, and some don't care to want to know more about who he is. It's really been quite odd, and always a lovely conversation about basketball with Mark Deeks.
We begin our journey into the Midday Midway with some news from the I'm Fat podcast. Jay and Rick are recording, I believe, this very afternoon, the March Fatness brackets, and we've got some play-in games that we figured y'all could give us a hand with. Fellas, where do we sit with some of the play-in games for one of my favorite March traditions, the March Fatness bracket?
Well, Jay and I each have playing games in our regions. So in my region, playing for the opportunity to go against my number one seed, Spice Adams, is wide recliners against hot sauce.
Ooh.
That's intriguing. A good 16-16 matchup. Wide recliners and hot sauce.
And you're posting these on Twitter as we speak for voting purposes?
You can find them at I'm Fat Pod.
And we'll retweet them from the Bernstein and McKnight Show account,
perfect.
Of course.
Perfect, perfect.
My play-in game is Little League World Series star Alfred Big Al Delia.
That's I Hit Dingers?
I Hit Dingers.
That's him. That's our guy. Versus Hibachi. And the winner of that matchup goes on to face the vaunted number one seed, the Combo Appetizer Platter.
That's a tough matchup.
Gotta tell you, though, the I Hit Dingers kid, I mean, he could get hot in a tournament run. And not just because he's somewhat larger and gets warm.
Yeah, he's already warm, I'm certain.
There you have it. We will be retweeting those for your voting purposes.
Should we say, I mean, I've got my winners in both of those play-in games already. I don't know if I would I skew the vote if I announced to
I'm going to take hot sauce. I would vote for hot sauce, and I'd vote for Delia.
Oh, yeah, Delia for sure.
And is he related to Colin Delia?
We can only hope.
I hope so. Do you want some other matchup previews? One I have my eye on in my bracket is compression shorts versus exit row seating. And 13-year-old Andy Reid versus Little Debbie's. Those are two of the matchups.
All Little Debbie's?
Yeah, the Little Debbie stacking empire.
What a brutal draw Andy Reid.
That's 13-year-old Andy Reid against all the Little Debbie products.
Yes, Little Debbie herself.
Wow. That's tough. That's Murray State Marquette. That's a must sit down and watch first round
going
game.
Going up against big Little Debbie.
My God.
I'm excited in my region for the 7-10 matchup of Gritty against Mike Francesa.
How can you tell the difference?
I mean, the fact that that ended up being a first-round matchup is incredible to me.
Who seeds these?
It's a good field.
I have problems with the committee.
It's a good field.
It's a fantastic field because it's a proper 7-10 matchup.
And when will we be unveiling the full bracket, the full board?
I should be posting the podcast tonight. And then we could probably go over it tomorrow.
Oh, I think we could.
Spend some time on that.
Be worth our time. So I asked you to think of the 25 best movie cats.
Uh-huh.
I only got three.
Yeah, I don't.
I love movies. I hate cats.
There's the cat in Alien.
Jonesy.
All right. He had a name.
That was one that I got.
There's the cat from Captain Marvel. I don't know where that. I don't know where Goose is vaulting up the list. But I've got Goose on my list, if only that it's one movie cat I can think of.
I had three on this list. Jonesy was one of them.
So the talking cat from Hocus Pocus. That's a cat.
Oh, you're doing better than I thought, actually.
That's three, man. That's what I got.
All right, let's run through this real fast. 25th is Crookshanks from Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Sure.
Right? He knew Scabbers was the bad guy.
That's right.
Number 24, Keanu in the Jordan Peele movie Keanu.
Okay.
Number 23 is Gigi in Kiki's Delivery Service.
Missed Gigi in Kiki's.
Number 22, Rufus from Reanimator.
Missed it.
Number 21, the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland.
Animated cats count.
Oh, right. Very much so in this. 19, it's Oliver of Oliver and Company.
Love that movie. It's the Billy Joel Disney movie.
18 is Princess Unkitty from Lego Movie.
I got nothing.
You never saw a Lego movie?
No, I don't think I did.
Oh, you'd love Lego movie.
Really?
Yes.
It looked like a fever dream.
It's great.
Really?
It's great.
Okay.
Yeah, see Lego movie. Shrek 2's Puss in Boots.
Sure, of course. Antonio Banderas.
Yes, doing full Antonio Banderas, chewing every scene. That Darn Cat had a cat named DC.
Was That Darn Cat one of those like 70s Disney movies?
Yeah, Haley Mills and Dean Jones.
They all came out in like 3 years, yep. And they're all equal, yep. Amounts
they
of
They also had D.A.
Yep. Shaggy D.A., right? The Adventures of Milo and Otis featured a cat named Milo.
I got nothing.
It's number 15. Number 14, Mrs. Norris from Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Kind of a villain.
Oh, was she the groundskeeper's,
yes,
cat?
Okay. Correct.
All right.
Meet the Parents, Mr. Jinx. Is cat number 13.
Cat.
Number 12 is Vito's cat in The Godfather.
Right.
Apparently Marlon Brando, an actual real-life cat lover. Here's one of the other ones that I actually got. Mr. Bigglesworth in Austin Powers is only 11th. Number 10. Here we're reaching the top 10 movie cats. Sassy from Homeward Bound.
Great movie. Yeah. Really? Oh, yeah. That was a kids' movie.
Yeah,
coming up. Homeward Bound was like a
right up our alley.
Homeward Bound was like a let's watch it every Friday kind of thing when
it's
you were five
far.
Or six.
Oh, he's thank too
you.
Old.
No, thank you. Number 9, the other one that I got, Orion in Men in Black.
All right.
The weight of the world on his shoulders, a cat of cosmic significance. Number 8, Mr. Cat from A Cat in Paris. Number 7, Cat is the name of the character of Breakfast at Tiffany's. Holly Golightly's cat. Number 10, Tonto from Harry and Tonto.
I don't even know the movie.
Art Carney won an Oscar for his role as a widower forced out of his
role
home.
As a cat.
Yes, Art Carney playing.
Art did a hell of a job.
Yes, won an Oscar playing Tonto in Harry and Tonto.
He was terrific.
Number 5, Church, the cat from Pet Sematary.
Nope.
Named for Winston Churchill, the zombie cat that forebodes the worst tragedy to come. Number 4, Jonesy from Alien. There you have
that
it.
That makes sense.
Number 3, Binks from Hocus Pocus.
Third? Well, it was a talking cat.
Third, a teen boy trapped in the body of a black cat who helps a group of kids thwart a trio of witches.
Yeah.
Number 2, the cat from Inside Llewyn Davis.
I keep on meaning to see
the Coen Brothers movie.
Like a Coen Brothers movie. I keep on meaning
to
see it.
I really meant
to see that and haven't.
I want to have seen that movie. Doesn't mean you want to see it.
Netflix keeps telling me I should watch this movie, and I keep watching Office reruns.
We're the Coen Brothers.
That's where I'm at.
We make movies you want to have seen.
You want people to know that you want to have seen.
And number 1, it's a tie. It's all of the Aristocats. Berlioz, Marie, and Toulouse. That is a Disney movie I have never seen and will never see. beloved cat characters, the movie's heart and soul, the three stars of the Aristocats. Not the Aristocrats, and don't make that mistake.
Can't do it. From cats to birds. Dan.
Yes.
We are going to get you involved, finally, after many years of railing and ranting, into a fantasy league. There is, it exists, fantasy bird watching.
Fantasy bird
this
watching.
This will slake all of your nerd and all of your bird. The world's most serious birders participate in big years, traveling thousands of miles across the continent or world to spot as many different bird species as they can in a calendar year. Not everyone, of course, can abandon their lives to chase great black hawks and red-flanked blue tails, though. You know, you got the show and everything. So a software developer used a citizen scientist bird database, which is the nerdiest phrase we have uttered here on this show, to create fantasy birding for those seeking the excitement of competitive birding at home. And if you haven't sought the excitement of competitive birding at home,
you ain't living.
You're not living.
How do we do this?
Fantasy birding is basically the offspring of three unrelated obsessions of Matt Smith, the Fantasy Bird League creator. One, obviously, birding. The second, sports, baseball, football in particular, which also turned me on. And things made for the internet. Participants in the main game compete to record the most species in the American Birding Association area. So you're drafting areas of the United States.
So it's based on your knowledge of migratory patterns. Do you do this like once a day? Is this like daily fantasy?
I think the time periods kind of differ a little bit.
So
if
I were to pick like the Chicago Lakefront Montrose Harbor
right
now, I would have a really good chance of rolling up some numbers.
You get those weird duck things that you saw the mergansers. You'd get to see a merganser. You wouldn't see a Peking, but you could get yourself a merganser, and that'd be worth some points. So if like a duck, it's the only kind of duck I know, if a duck is seen in your area by an accredited bird watcher, you, because you've drafted that area, would get points for that area. However many you draft, or how many points you get, and you
get
climb the leaderboard
more points
in your
for
league.
A rarer species.
Oh yeah, absolutely, like, I'm not taking, absolutely. Okay. The Birding League has already drawn 358 players. There are dozens of us, dozens, and in first place already, 549 species spotted, including 50 rarities. So if you get a rarity, you are scheduled for more points. Can I sign you up for a fantasy team now in fantasy birding? We have to wait till after the show. When are you hopping on this very, very hot trend?
I got to know more about it, but I'm
this thing's taking off.
My nephew would definitely do this because this is like his
Connor thing. I'll acknowledge that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Taking on?
Yeah. It's taking off.
Yeah. Okay, great. This is right here in our own backyard. This is up north in Glenview. Authorities are searching for a robber who attempted to rob a bank. Here's the problem. This man went to the bank. He tried to rob the bank. Unfortunately, he did so at the drive-thru. A security consultant for CBS Chicago, the former FBI agent Ross Rice, says the first thing that comes to mind is stupid. He said, I can't recall a robber ever trying to use a bank drive-through for obvious reasons. He said, most bank robbers go inside the bank and try to commit the robbery in person. So if somebody says, I'm robbing this bank, I'm pointing a weapon at you, or whatever he's saying, you can just say, no.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
No, thanks.
No, you haven't done this correctly.
We're not doing the bank
Please
robbery
leave.
Today because you're not actually in the bank. Give me all the money. No. No, I'm not going to. I don't know what the thought process that goes into this. You drive up to the drive-thru. Give me all your money. No. Okay.
Okay, pull around to the second window.
Right. Exactly.
The second window.
Yeah. Bad at that.
We've already had one story of Taco Bell hot sauce saving a life. Remember, we had the stranded motorists. I think it was something Haven in Connecticut. This from a different Haven. Remember, the guy was stranded, big snowstorm. He stayed alive eating Taco Bell hot sauce for 5 days. This is in Winter Haven, Florida. The need for hot sauce could be what came between one Taco Bell customer and a car that drove through the building, according to Winter Haven police.
Huh.
Officers say that a Taco Bell customer and his wife were sitting in a window seat in a Taco Bell restaurant. Then they got up to go get the hot sauce that the member at the Taco Bell worker had forgot to put in the bag in the first place. So they didn't have enough fire sauce. We wanted more fire. So they stood up, went to go get fire sauce. And in those moments, a car crashes through the window of the Taco Bell, obliterating the table and seats that this poor couple would have been sitting in.
Voy a regresar.
If they had not had the Taco Bell hot sauce delivered to them at the same time. The pictures are out there, too. I'll retweet the story.
It is. You know,
it smashed this thing. It went straight in. They have to have been going 25, 35 miles an hour.
You make fun of Taco Bell all you want. The hot sauce is the truth.
It's delicious.
It's really good.
I used to keep a fishbowl full of hot sauces
really
at the house.
And by the way,
not the Palmolator fishbowl. It's a different fishbowl.
The Taco Bell is gone.
What
completely
do you mean?
The one by Wrigley.
No.
Completely.
Well, they're putting in a new Taco Bell, though, right? Isn't that the big, that's the whole parking garage and hotel and Taco Bell joint?
There will be one, but don't tell people that because you know how these Facebook groups get attached to it. It is no more.
Whoever fights at that Taco Bell every night. I can't believe anybody missed it.
That has been the Midday Midway, and the top of the hour has been brought to you by Northwestern Football. Spring football is underway. Join Coach Fitz and the Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. We have been trying to tell you about this Mike Trout guy.
You seen this?
Have you heard about this? Yeah, I've been hearing about all that. He's pretty good. I've got what I think is a major college basketball story.
Big headline from one of the largest voices in college basketball.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it. I think it's huge.
That's what we're headed next.
Maybe it's fait accompli, but hey, this is meaningful stuff.
Bernstein and McKnight, 670, the score.
Who said this? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who said this? If a kid wants to go to the NBA and that's his dream, that's his goal, the NBA wants him, why not? Why do we make a kid go to school for a year or two? And in many cases, you know, they don't want to be there. The term student-athlete becomes almost a joke. Let them go on and make their millions.
Wow. I mean, that's a shot at the NCAA.
Okay.
The system that they run, the one-and-done thing. Is there a hint that you could give me in the way that you read it, perhaps, that might let me in some more, let me behind the curtain just a little bit? I'm just saying if you were practiced in lexicon or accent or perhaps a particular affectation of this.
What if a diaper dandy wants to go to the NBA, baby? That's Dick Vitale.
Dick Vitale saying that.
Dick Vitale is saying this. Think about this. If you really remember when this exploded in the mid-80s when ESPN made college basketball into something bigger than what it was, and sure, you can give me your Elvin Hayes and Lou Alcindor game, but the full-blown television aspect of
that's interesting. It's always for me. I mean, it's always this big.
No, it was. You had your game of the week. You'd watch Al McGuire and Billy Packer, and they would do a game on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't really happen until ESPN got the Big East, and then all of a sudden, who's Seton Hall? I'd never heard of Seton Hall before. Yeah. I knew who Providence was, and next thing you know, that's sort of gets going just at the same time as Mullen and Georgetown and some of this stuff, and it went crazy. And by the time I got to college in the late 80s, it was a thing. And you all these whip arounds of everywhere that it coincided with me being in college, which made it feel bigger. Helps. At a college basketball school. And it's like all the worlds were colliding there, you know. And then here's Vitale on the campus, and he's doing promos for our student TV show and everything. I think I have it somewhere. It's really, really funny. He's still,
the promo?
Vitale's still got a little bit of hair.
Oh, really?
A little bit, not a lot. But there used to be a time where if Dick Vitale said your name as a basketball assistant coach,
huge.
You get a job.
Yeah.
Like that's all you tried to do was get Dick Vitale to mention your name as somewhere on a bench, and it would help you land a head coaching job somewhere. And he's always been a cheerleader for the game as it was for the status quo, for the NCAA. For him to be here with some of this stuff, I think is remarkable. How about this? That was just the tease. Here's the meat of it. Take a look at Zion Williamson. Why shouldn't he play and get paid? It's a cesspool. Guys hustling kids, hustling dollars. Let me tell you this, we can solve that in a heartbeat. A kid like Zion, he can make appearances. He can endorse a product. We got a tournament going on and everyone's making millions. Let those kids be able to benefit. It eliminates all the dirty stuff that goes on behind the scenes and it's there. Let's face it. You've got coaches getting fired for taking bribes or to make believe and lie on an application. The kid's an athlete. It's a cesspool. It is just ridiculous. and absurd.
Yeah, I think Vitale's put that sentiment out there a little bit before, but not quite with that spicy language.
No, he goes on to talk about if Taylor Swift is in college and she wants to make an album or have a concert, she's allowed to, but it doesn't apply similarly.
I'm trying to think of where Taylor Swift would have gone to school. Abilene Christian or something like that. TCU, I've got her pegged for.
Liberty.
Liberty. Yeah, I could see it. Also, I'd go to that concert. I wonder too, though. The lie that we got told, that like my age group got told, like coming up, Jeff Passan writes his book, like Death to the BCS, all this stuff, where the NCAA is making so much money with the sham bowl game system. Not only is it a sham because of it's not finding the best teams to go play for a national title, but all the whole bowl system is, I mean, you've seen countless numbers of bowl organizers lit up for racketeering and moving money around and embezzlement and all that kind of stuff. It's why Terry wants that to be his new job down in Tampa, right? That's what he's looking for. He just wants a place that he can put his $2 million, just hold on to that way.
That's, yeah, he's going to do that. It's going to be a great gig
for him. That's a great gig for him. But then you find out, I forget what it was, maybe like 10 years ago, probably right around the time I was starting here, found out that the NCAA tournament actually makes plenty of money for the NCAA. Like, the most money for the NCAA, that it is a giant endeavor and that the television contracts and them spreading into as many networks as they have has actually been quite lucrative for them. Thank you very much. And all of that is because of the system that they've engendered, because of the thing that they haven't wanted to change for the better part of 20 years now, this one and done thing. They're just not interested because the NBA hasn't moved it along fast enough or hard enough, and because the whole system benefits a couple of guys, a couple of cesspools, like Dick Vitale points out.
It's a big deal to me. It's one thing for Jay Billis to have sort of been one of these voices, and he's the guy replacing Dick Vitale essentially, but it's meaningful to me that common sense has prevailed to this point. It's almost like marijuana legislation. It's almost like legalization of some of these things where there's a critical mass that builds up over time. With each next passing generation, you're just raised with a greater understanding of some of these inequities and unfairnesses. But it's when it reaches all the way to the top, to the septuagenarian sort of heart and soul,
sure,
and front man for the sport. It's cool if he's really promoting this. And, you know, for this 608, it says, how do you solve the Title IX problem? There's no problem. If a woman can get money being paid as a spokesperson and doing appearances and all that, more power to her.
Yeah, I think we did some of this when we were doing some college football stuff. When Nick Bosa, I think, went down with was it an abdominal tear or something like that that made him sit out the rest of the Ohio State season? We got into this some. And really, if you allow all of the athletes to just earn what they feel like based on endorsements or whatever, there is no Title IX issue. Everybody
right.
gets what they're able to get. It's capitalism. You just allow the kids to be involved in capitalism the way the rest of the student body is allowed to be involved in capitalism. Whether you like that or not, that's doesn't matter. I mean, if you're into that system, great. If you'd like it to be a little bit more equal, if you'd like the money spread around to every athlete or every team so that somebody gets a piece, I guess I'd be happier doing that than not letting anyone make any money. I mean, if you want to have Zion capped at some level, or he's got to make his endorsement money and then spread it around to the rest of the Duke athletic system that doesn't need it, okay.
Yeah, they're really hurting for money.
I mean, if you're into that, I guess if you need the non-existent sailing team to get more money for their non-existent squad, I okay, you can do that, but why not just let them all make the money that they're able to make? You're telling me like Tim Tebow couldn't have gotten tons of money from like car dealerships just pitching Lincolns or something like that in Jacksonville?
Hobby Lobby,
of course,
and Chick-fil-A.
Well, although those things too, but they like advertisements.
This bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Only 5 regular season home games remain for the first place Chicago Wolves at Allstate Arena. Celebrate the 25th anniversary season with free parking, courtesy of Kia, as well as discounted concessions. For ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. A bit of an odd show today because out of nowhere, we had this disconnect between Mike Trout, apparently, and baseball fans, and I never thought it's possible, even to the point where one texter goes, "How if Mike Trout's so good and important, how come you never talk about him on your show?" Like, we've been around a year. I think we have given you a disproportionate, compared to the average sports radio show outside of Mike Trout's home market or places that otherwise enjoy Mike Trout, I think we felt a responsibility anytime there's a milestone. Anytime he's been in town, anytime something as important has happened regarding him, we have gone out of our way to put into context the greatness of a still 27-year-old Mike Trout.
We had Jeff Sullivan on the show once a week, every week during the baseball season. I would go so far as to say that Jeff Sullivan, one of the brightest voices, brightest writers in baseball the last 5-6 years, did an outsized amount of coverage on Mike Trout because even he was having trouble wrapping his mind around just how good Mike Trout's been the first 7 years of his career. Jeff's really smart. He got snapped up by the Tampa Bay Rays, so we can't talk to him anymore, though we'd love to. That's how much Mike Trout and his ability, his production, his early career, everything has been on the minds of everyone who covers the game. I give you a Mike Trout fact every week. I know I did, because every morning I woke up thinking, okay, let's find the nicest Mike Trout fact you can, and we'll drop it on the Friday show somewhere.
And we had someone call in and say, "I love baseball. I've never seen Mike Trout play." And I just don't think those two things can be true. I think that those are contradictory. If you love baseball, you have seen Mike Trout play. He's played for 8 seasons.
I mean, what we learned, though, is that the provincial nature of baseball and the baseball fan has either artificially or naturally selected for fans to just watch one team.
Too much is available for that to be true.
Well, but that's where we're at.
Too much video is available. It's too easy.
Available, but is it accessible?
I mean, you can, right here.
Sure, but you have to go search for it. And if you're consuming baseball the same way you've consumed baseball for the last 25 years, I don't know that enough is being put in front of you.
I think that's
baseball's issue.
I think it depends on how provincial your actual broadcast is. I mentioned before that I think that Jason Benetti and Steve Stone and the White Sox broadcast do a really, really good job. And I think this part of it is with the retirement of Hawk Harrelson and not feeling that everything White Sox is great and everything non-White Sox is lesser, that now that that's out of the booth, that you can have a wiser and more mature appreciation for greatness elsewhere and other things that are happening. Instead of saying that Tyler Saladino is Brooks Robinson, you can take some time and appreciate the greatness of some opponents. And I respect the job that they do and what that production does to help people understand things that matter in baseball and things that might be bigger than just something that's going on in the average White Sox game. And Mike Trout is definitely one of those things. Signs a 12-year contract for $430 million, and we're still fansplaining him to people.
It's bizarre. Shep came into the studio a little earlier just to reminded me that the Angels play the Cubs this year as well. So you get some National League love. If you're just a Cubs watcher, you get to see Mike Trout in the first 2 weeks of the season, April 12th through the 14th. It's a weekend set at Wrigley Field, so you get to go watch Mike Trout there.
Shep also came in. He said, "Listen, guys."
Screaming and yelling.
He said, "I love fried food. I can't wait to try these fried potatoes known as French fries." is that really considered sort of the single best fried food? Men?
Yeah.
Is that an automatic?
I think.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the most commonly associated.
Okay. I mean, chicken, though, that's got to be a strong number two.
Very good.
Frank, but the access of French fries, I mean, they're everywhere.
Frank in Lakeview, you're on the score. What's up, Frank?
Yeah, hi. I just want to let you know, I'm a big Sox fan, you know, rabid Sox fan. My favorite player in baseball is Mike Trout. I got his sweatshirt. Hundreds of Sox sweatshirts, but I got a Mike Trout. Last year, my wife works with Japanese people, so she became a big Ohtani fan, even though she's not a big baseball fan. So last year, I went to two different Sox games with California. My wife went to one. It was so much fun. Trout hit two home runs, and I was paying attention for both of them. And Ohtani hit a home run. So, I mean, I don't know why I'm talking about him, but except for my wife. But yeah, you should see that. I mean, I'm sure you guys have, but if people don't know, Mike Trout is a big dude, and he's fast. And in center field, he's really good. And when he hits the ball, it's fun. And you know, he looks, he makes me think of Mickey Mantle, but, you know, he just looks like a baseball player. So I've run on long enough. I just wanted to tell you that you guys are right.
Appreciate you, Frank.
Thanks, Frank, for the good validation. Man. Mike Trout, good.
Good man and thorough.
Yep.
Is he going to give Mike Trout his sweater back, by the way?
Oh, he took his sweatshirt. Yeah.
That's right. He took the sweatshirt.
Yeah.
It's all right. Mike's probably got a couple of sweatshirts. 6'2", 235, by the way. Uh-huh. He's got an 85% stolen base percentage. He is very well, – what did he have? 189 stolen bases in his career. So damn close to 200. He'll probably knock that off this season and stealing it at 85% clip, which eclipses the whole are you good at stealing bases or not range of 75%.
Everybody's having fun with this particular bit. I love the outdoors, but I can't wait to see these trees.
You guys heard of these? You seen these trees?
Yeah, seen trees?
Really big fan. Love going outside. Never seen one.
What do we call these? Leaves? Leaves. Go ahead and shout it out when you know. Yeah, that's they're enjoying this thing. You know, when we mentioned there was that list that Aspen had a list of the 100 most famous athletes.
Yeah.
I have it. Uh-huh. I haven't heard of many of these people. Mike Trout is not in the top 100.
Well, I think that list could be affected by the fact that we're American and it's a world famous list.
Mm-hmm.
We probably ought to watch a little bit more footy.
No,
we can go through the rest of them that aren't footy players.
I will say it could be extremely troubling for you because of a cornerstone of your existence could infringed upon as we look at this list.
We will infringe on cornerstones when we return. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.